So let's get started. So today we're going to start the sugya of Beria. So today I think it's going to be two shirim. I think it's going to be today and Sunday. We're going to talk about the sugya of Beria. A little bit of background. There are a series of halachas in the seventh parak of Maseches Chulin that relate to when normal dinim of bittul don't apply. Now that we know a little bit about bittul b'shishim and b'minum and b'sheinum and lach yavish v'chule v'chule, there are a series of halachas that talk about when regular dinim of bittul will not apply and where something will not be batel even in much greater numbers. So even though these items do not become batel per se, the Tshuvas HaRashba writes in Siman Kof Aleph that the things that we're going to be talking about, they wouldn't trafe up a pot that the Tarovis has cooked in. I mean, let's say you have a little bug that falls into your chicken soup and you saw the bug fall into the soup, but you can't find it and it was a whole bug. So now the whole soup is trafe, even though the soup is let's say 800 times the amount of the bug. Nevertheless, the whole soup is trafe. But when you empty the soup out of that pot, the pot is not treif, the Rashba writes. Now, there are three basic, not basic, but three separate halachos relating to a beria. Meaning, again, to be clear, there's a whole category of halachos relating to things that do not become batel. One member of that category is a beria. We're going to discuss other members of that category. Things like that. There's a whole category of items that do not become batel. One category, one member of that category, rather, is a beria. So beria is going to be our topic for today and for Sunday. Within beria, there are three halachos that relate to beria. Meaning, we're going to be discussing primarily the halacha that a beria is ain't a betela, because we're focused on the halachos of bittul in a taroves, that when something gets mixed with something else, it becomes batel. That is not the original din of beria, though. There are really three separate sugyas relating to beria. First is that, not related to taroves, that if you eat a machalos asuros, that is a beria, even if it's pachos mikazayis, you're going to be chayiv malkus on it. Right? Why is it that in Makos we learn about being chayiv chamish malkios, sharet samayim, sharet tov, all these different shratzim, you could be over any number of isurim that you can be chayiv multiple malkios for. The thing that you're reading might be a teeny tiny bug. Yeah, if it's a beria, even though it's pachos mikazayis, it has a din like it's a kazayis, that is a din d'oraisa. That's a din d'oraisa. And that is the din of beria on a daraisa level. The sugya is a mishnah makos daf yud gimel, and the sugya that follows on daf tezayin daf yud zayin. So a person who eats in the mala kol shuhu is loka. The second sugya of beria, which is going to be our primary focus, is the sugya that comes up here in chulin daf kuf, which is a beria in a betela, which we will discuss whether that's drabanan or daraisa. Pashtos is the fact that a beria is ain't a betela is only a din terabanan, but there are shitos that it's daraisa, so we'll discuss that. So the first sugya of beria is clearly a din daraisa. Second sugya of beria, the one that we're going to be most focused on, is a machlokas, whether it's terabanan or daraisa, although in all likelihood it's terabanan. Then the third potential area where beria comes up is not really a sugya in Shas Bavli, it's really a sugya in Shas Yerushalmi. The question is, do we pasken like it at all? And that is as far as Hilchos Brachos are concerned. That the halach is, normally you only say a bracha achrona if you ate a shir. If you pachs mikshir, you do not say a bracha achrona. What if you ate a beria? Do you say a bracha achrona if you ate a beria? That's pachos mikashir. So Bavli mentions nothing about this, about being chayiv mishum, about saying a bracha achrona on a beria. The Yerushalmi, however, does. So it's a machlokas rishonim, whether it even exists, whether this halach is even something that we paskin at all. So category one, da'oraisa. Category two, maybe daraisa, more likely derabanan. Category three, maybe exists, maybe doesn't exist. Meaning if it exists, it's only derabanan, but it may not even exist at all. So let's start like this. The Mishnah on Tzadi Vavim Beis talks about Giranasha. It talks about Giranasha on two levels. In terms of Nesinas Tam, which is not relevant to Halacha, because we paskin ain't begidin benosin Tam, so you could talk about, the Mishnah could talk about if it assumes Yesh begidin benosin Tam, so is the soup where the Giranasha was cooked in, is the soup going to be kosher or not, based on did it get Tam from the Gid? But we paskin the Gid doesn't give Tam anyway, so if the Gid doesn't transmit any Tam anyway, so of course it's going to be kosher. So Nesinas Tam is not really an issue for us. And also in terms of Giranasha Shenes Bashel Imagidim, Im eino makiro kulam asurim. The Mishnah says that if you have a gid anasha cooking with a whole bunch of other gidim, they all look very similar to each other. It's not so easy to discern one from the other. Only the gid anasha is not kosher, and you can't identify which one is the gid anasha. So then they're all going to be asur. Not batal b'shishim or anything like that. They're all going to be asur. Having the gid anasha in the taroves ruins the entire taroves. So Gemara and Daf Kufa Menalf explains that you can't rely on bittul barov because beria shiny. The Gemara is explicit about that. Why don't we say that it's bittul barov? Beria shiny. Gid anasha is a complete entity. It is a unit, and therefore it's not subject to bittul barov. And this is, as we mentioned yesterday, Rav Shechter points out, an easy mnemonic to remember. It's in Simen Kuf in Yaradeya. It's on Daf Kuf in Maseches Chulin. So Kuf is the key number when it comes to a beria. A nice round, complete whole number, 100. Right, so Daf Kuf, Simen Kuf, that's the din of Beria, which is a complete and whole entity. So this is not about Bittul Tam, this is about Bittul Be'en. We would normally say Chad Betray Batul. Normally you have a Be'en and Tarovus of Yavish B'Yavish, you would say that is Batul B'Rov, Chad Betray Batul. Essentially it comes up, so again, comes up. And even that, even the concept of Beria comes up three times, even in this parak on Daf Tzadivav about eating a Gid Anasha, if you actually eat the Gid Anasha, that's Pachas Mikazayis. On Daf Kuf Beis about eating an Of Tame, that's Pachas Mikazayis, where an Of Tame, the Gemara is going to discuss whether that's a Beria or not. And on Daf Kuf about not being Batel, about a Beria not being Batel in the Tarotas. Good, that's the introduction to the concept of Beria. So now let's discuss. Is Beria, as we're going to be talking about it, the idea that a Beria is in a betela, is that a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? Tosos in Bamitzia davavam beis, Dibra Maskel Kafatz, and in Mi'ila Chaf Aleph Amid beis, Dibra Maskel Pruta, implies, not states, but implies strongly that it is a din d'oraisa. How does it imply? Because Bamitzia davav, it's the context of Meiser Behema. An animal that's already passed the counting. So, how does Meiser Behema work? You have to open up the door of the pen a little bit. You start counting them out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then the 10th one is Kaddish. The 10th one goes to Hashem, right? 9. So that's the Vart, I think, my Chavrusa Rabbi Razin likes to say over B'Shem Rav Pam. I think B'Shem the Chafetz Chaim. I think Rav Pam is saying the name of the Chafetz Chaim. Now, why don't you just count how many sheep you have? And if you have 100 new sheep, so give 10 to Meiser Behema. Why do you have to count 1, 2, 3, 4? You have to have them go out one at a time. It causes so much confusion. All these Mishnayos talk about if you miscount and you call them Chi Asiri and then Asiri Chi and then Achadas or Asiri. Now you have 3 tens that are in there. So what do you do with that? So you have all these confusing halachas. Would be so much easier if you just said, okay, I'll just take 10. I'll give them to Meiser Behema. So the part that they say that from the Chafetz Chaim, I think, was that psychologically, if a person has to give 10 animals, you know, that he raised these animals, he's the one that, took care of them, and now he's got to give away 10 of them. It feels like a lot. But here's what he gets to do. He opens up the pen, he says, 1 for me, 2 for me, 3 for me, 4 for me, 5 for me, 6 for me, 7 for me, 8 for me, 9 for me. Okay, 1 for Hashem. You know, like I can give up 1. After so psychologically, it works out that way. Okay, that's the part. But anyway, you have Meiser Behema. So Kafatz Echad Min HaMenuyin. Echad Min HaMenuyin does not mean the one that was the tenth. Meaning one of the first 9 that was on the other side, but now it's not Tevel, so to speak, anymore, right? It's already been counted. So Echad Min HaMenuyin feels like he's missing his old friends, and he jumps the fence, and he comes right back in, and now he gets mixed in with all the others, and you don't know which one it is. So says the Gemara, there's no Chi of Meiser Behema in such a case, because the Pasuk says, Ha'asiri Yiyah Kodesh, Meiser Behema, and we darshin, Asiri Vadai Velo Asiri Safek. And the basic question that the Rishonim ask is, why don't we just follow Rove? Why don't we say that it's Batel B'Rov? The animal that was Min HaMenuyin, jump back in, and now, any time I'm going to declare one as Meiser Behema, it might be the one that was already Min HaMenuyin that's not Meiser Behema, it's not eligible to be Meiser Behema. So any time I want to declare any of the Meiser Behema, it's a Asiri Safek. Oh, because it's a series suffix, so it's potter from Maisa Behema. What do you mean? Why not say as soon as it jumps back in, it's batel barov, now they're all non-minuyin, because it's batel barov. That's the kasha that Tosos asks. So Tosos offers a couple of answers. First, Tosos says, this is the classic example of a davar shebeminyan. What does davar shebeminyan mean? Something that you would count. And that's exactly what you're doing over here. You're counting. It's a davar shebeminyan. Davar shebeminyan does not become batel. We're going to have to learn about a davar shebeminyan and whether this is in fact a davar shebeminyan. But a davar shebeminyan does not become batel. Then Tosos rejects that because... because Tosos says, yeah, davar shebeminyan is a good idea, but davar shebeminyan is only not batel on a derabanan level. On a daraisa level, davar shebeminyan is batel. It sounds like that the Gemara is describing over here a din daraisa that it's patur. So davar shebeminyan is not going to help you over here. So yes, it's a davar shebeminyan, but davar shebeminyan is only din derabanan, not a din daraisa that it's not batel. So Tosos says, okay, so I need to find a reason why this animal is not going to be batel that works me da oraisa. So Tosos says, I got it. Beria. The animal's a beria. And a beria is a nebetela. And then Tosos suggests that, no, maybe it doesn't meet the criteria of a beria. Okay, fine. We reject. But the Tosos' rejection of that answer is not, beria is only midrabana. It does not say that. The implication is, after already answering that we need a reason midar Isa, he moves on to beria. Sounds like apparently Tosos entertained the possibility, at least, that the concept of beria in a betela is in fact a dindar Isa. In Chuvus Maril Simenayin Aleph, he makes this diuk in Tosos, and the Placey in Simen Kuf Os Aleph over here thinks that even Tosos holds beria in a betela is only a dindar Abanan. He has some sort of teretz to the diuk. You take a look in the Placey. The other relevant Tosos, is Prichadosh and the Mishal Melech point out, the Mishal Melech in the 7th parak of Hilchos Me'ila, is the Tosos of Me'ila is as follows, in the following context. The Mishnah Me'ila Daf Chafal of Mbez. The Mishnah tells us that according to Rabbi Akiva, if you have a Pruta Shel Hagdish that falls into a Kis Shel Prutos, a wallet full of money, you violate Me'ila with the first Pruta that you remove and use. Right, you take a pruta out of the only one pruta of Hegdish fell into the kiss, whichever, and you don't know which one it is. Whichever one you take out, it's a violation of Me'ilah. So Tosos acknowledges that you're only chayiv and Hashem talui, right? Because you don't know for sure that what you took out was a pruta shel Hegdish. So it's going to be a violation of Me'ilah, but you're not going to be chayiv. You're not going to be chayiv and Hashem vada. It's Hashem talui because you don't know for sure that you took out the pruta shel Hegdish. But Tosos is bothered by Akasha. Why not say, Bittel Barov, right? The Prutus Shalagdish fell in. Why don't you call it Bittel Barov? So Tos first answers, no, it can't be Batel because it's Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. But then he says, no, Din of Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin doesn't become Batel, it's only Din Terabanan. So I need a Din Da Oraisa. I need a reason Mida Oraisa that it shouldn't become Batel. So comes along Tosos, he doesn't say Beria, but he says, a Matbeya is a Davar Chashuv. Matbeya is a Davar Chashuv, and a Davar Chashuv is not going to become Batel. The implication is that davar chashuv not becoming batel is a din daraisa. What's the whole svara that beria is a nebetela? Is that a beria has chashivus? Why does a beria have chashivus? I don't know, but you chayv malchus for eating a beria, even though it's way less than a gezaris. So a beria has chashivus. So if something is if that's the whole mechanism through which a beria is not batel, and you're telling me that the whole concept of davar chashuv is a concept on a daraisa level, it could very well be, says the Pri Chadosh and says the Mishnah Lamelech, that Tosos is telling us that beria ain't a betela is in fact a din daraisa. In Rabbi Yaakov Emden's Tshuvas in Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf and Ches and Shelas Yaivitz, he suggests that the source in the Torah for a davar chashuv not becoming batel, somewhat creatively, what's the source in the Torah that we follow Rov in the first place? What's the source? Ramlados, right? So we're talking about Dayanim. So Yaakov Emden says you got to go back to Dayanim. You got to go back to the sugya of Dayanim, and you'll see why it is that a davar chashuv is not batel. My high Sanhedrin daf lamed vav. The Gemara darshan's pasuk lo sana al riv lo sana al rav to mean that bedina nefashos maschilin minatzad. That they used to sit by the Sanhedrin. They would sit in a particular order. And Minatzad were the lesser members of the Sanhedrin, and the greater members of the Sanhedrin were more toward the middle. So Bedin and Fush is Maschil Minatzad. Why are we Maschil Minatzad? Why not start from the middle? Because you don't want to start from the middle, because the Mufla Sheba Beis Din, once he speaks, no one's going to argue. So apparently from Maschil Minatzad, we see that you can't be Mevatel the Divrei Mufla Sheba Beis Din. Once the Mufla Sheba Beis Din speaks, no one's going to argue. So you'd rather have the Mufla Sheba Beis Din hear everyone else first and let everyone express their opinions first. So apparently you're not allowed to be Mevatel the Das of the Mufla Sheba Beis Din in a row, because he is a Davar Chashuv. So says Yaakov, then that's the basis of the idea that a davar chashuv is not batal. The whole thing doesn't work out. You can be mevatel das of mufla sheba beis din afterwards, right? Meaning, does it matter which one fell in first or second? I mean, so even though the Gemara Sanhedrin only indicates that it would be a problem with chachila, but maybe if you're maskil mina emtsa, the vote would still work, and his das can be batal. Rabbi Yaakov says no. It would really depend on that issue. You know, he says. Meaning, Rabbi Yaakov says, "Ah, I got a problem with my vart. The problem is that it could be that the Gemara is just telling us you're supposed to be maschil min atzad. But if you're maschil min emtsa, it could be that it works. So maybe a davar chashuv can become batel if it happens b'di'eved." So he says, "Oh, that would be tali in the sugya in Tumur Daf Dalet, Tumur Daf Hey, Tumur Daf Vav. Right? That's the sugya of Kol Milsa Dam Rachman Lo Savid Yavid Mahani Yavid Lo Mahani. The Torah tells you got to be maskil min atzad. So now, does it work if you're maskil min amtsa, if you're maskil from the Muflash of Bezin?" So he says that would be tali not machlokas Abayin Rava about Kol Dam Rachman Kol Milsa Dam Rachman Lo Savid Yavid Mahani. Are you familiar that sugya the Gemara has? It's unbelievable. The Gemara just takes you on a tour through Shas for like two dapim over there. The Gemara says, well, let's see. If the Torah says not to do something and you do it, it is a chal. So it brings 14 rayas from everywhere, whether it's chal or not. I remember Rav Sachs Shlita, in one of his Shir Klalis, he said that one of the younger Talmidim in the yeshiva was complaining to him that your style of learning is not my style. To bring rayas from all over Shas and to, you know, categorize and whatever, it's not my derech halimud. You know, a 19-year-old told him, it's not my derech halimud. So sort of Sachs said, I don't know, seems to be the Gemara's derech halimud, right? The Gemara had this question, you have mani, you have lo mani, and brought 14 rayas from all over Shas to whether it works or not. But okay, anyway. So that's a minority view in Rishonim, if it even is a view in Rishonim, right? It's diyukim from Tosos in a couple of places in Shas. Most Rishonim, including the Rashba and Taras Abayis, assume that the din of Baryena Betel is only din Rabbanan, and all of the exceptions to Bittel on account of Chashivus are din Rabbanan. Meaning anything that's not going to become Bittel because it's too Chashuv, that's all the din Rabbanan. The Ritva and Chulin Daf Kuf points out that the concept of Berya as brought up in Makos Daf Yud Zayin, that if you eat a whole bug, even though it's smaller than Kazayis, Chayv Malkus, that's the Oraisa. A Kazayis is a shear of Chashivus. A Berya is significant enough even when it's very tiny. So Chazal just expanded on that concept called the Tikkun Rabban Kent Oraisa Tikkunum. They took that Dinmi Doraisa and they said a Berya is also in a Betela because it's too Chashiv to become Batal. The Badei HaShulchan and the Biurim, he says he's not sure how to understand this. He said, maybe the Chiv Malkus and the Beria is not a reflection of its Chashivas, but the source of its Chashivas. Meaning, what did Chazal do? They said, oh, if once there's a Sugya that tells us that on a Doraisa level, if you eat a Beria, you're Chayv Malkus, so it must be that a Beria is a Davar Chashiv. So he said, Yesh Ladun, how Chazal interpreted that. Is it that Chazal saw that there's a din that you're Chayv Malkus reading a Beria? Why are you Chayv Malkus reading a Beria? Must be because a Beria is a Davar Chashuv. Or, no. Why are you Chayv Malkus reading a Beria? Gzeres HaKosov. I don't know. There's no smara why you're Chayv Malkus reading a Beria. It's just Gzeres HaKosov. Oh, but once you're going to be Chayv Malkus for it, that's what gives it Chashivas. The very fact that you're Chayv Malkus for it means that it's a Davar Chashuv. For us, it means that we treat it like a Davar Chashuv. Okay, it's somewhat academic. I don't know what the Nafka Mina would be, but that's what Badei HaShulchan has two possibilities of how to interpret that.
The
Salafi
gave a
Nafka Mina. Oh, yeah? What did he say?
If it's a Suffolk.
No, that's not going to be if it's Daraisa or Drabana.
No.
Over here, within the Shita, that it's Drabana, which is the majority opinion, right? Within that shita, what's the lamdus the Badei HaShulchan wants to know? Is the lamdus that the reason you're chayiv malchus reading a beria is that a beria is a davar chashuv, meaning b'mitzius it's a davar chashuv, and therefore I'm also going to say it's not batel? Or no, b'mitzius it's nothing, it's a little bug. But the fact that you're chayiv malchus makes it a davar chashuv. Meaning, is the chiyuv malchus a simin or a siba? Right? Is it the a simin of its already existing chashivos, or is it what gives it the chashivos?
See the first one, wouldn't that be to say that it's actually
the raisa? If it's a simin of the chashivos, not. I mean, there would be it would be logically defendable, right? Meaning, if what gives it, if it's the other way, then you can't probably defend the idea that it's the raisa, but it certainly wouldn't be mukhrach. Now, the Taz and the Shach point out that we paskin like the Ritva and the Rov Rishonim, so any Safik Beria is going to be Lakula, right? That's already the Taz in the very first Sif Katan over here says that a Safik Beria is going to be Lakula because the whole din is a din midrabanan. Apparently, based on the Ritva, the Geder of Beria is going to be determined by the Sugya and Makos. Meaning, if I want to know what is a Beria and what's not a Beria, it's important to know that Sugya, because that Sugya, which talks directly about that topic, is the basis for our Sugya of a Tarelves. Meaning, it could be that with Bracha Achrona, it's a different Sugya. Because the Gemara never links the two. The Gemara doesn't even talk about it when it comes to Bracha Achrona. But if you're to the extent that you hold that there's a din of Beria by Bracha Achrona, it could be that that's a different Sugya. That you're not going to look at the Sugya Makos for the Geder of a Beria. Which all brings us to the Geder of a Beria. Right? So far we didn't do, you know, what did we do already? We said that there are three Sugyas of Beria. There's the Sugya where it's Daraisa, that you're Chayv Malkus reading a Beria. There's the Tarovis, which we're focused on, that it's not Batel, which in all likelihood is only a din Rabbanon, but might be Doraisa according to the Balei HaTosfos. And then there's the Sugya of Brachos, which is not really our Sugya, which is about Bracha Achrona, which may not even be a din at all. And even if it is a din, certainly it would only be Rabbanon. So how do we define Beria? So what we've seen from this Ritva is that when you come... Yeah?
Yeah, Bill wants to know, why doesn't the case of the Gid Bein Agidin count as a Savik Nol at Makom Kavua and Mechzal Mechza? Post this in Baba Metzia, says that Kavua is in Shaykh by Meiser Behema, since the Isser isn't Nikr in any Makom. Would that same...
Is he answering his own question, or is he... That's part of the question also. Oh, would that... Okay, I'm saying... Why did that exist in the Gidin? The Gidin counts as a Savik Nol at Makom Kavua, and Mechza al Mechza. Tells him Baba Metzia says that Kavua is in Shaykh by Meiser Behema, since the Isser isn't Nikr in any Makom. And that same shot applied to the Gid. Yeah, we'll have to talk about why the Gid is not, you know, we'll have to get to that Sugya, I'm not sure. Okay. The Geder of Beria, meaning now that we know that there's a concept of Beria, we have to define the concept of it. What is a Beria? What's not a Beria? So the Gemara in Chulin deals with this. There are Gemaras all over the place that deal with this, and you have to just put them all together and figure out. Meaning, sometimes the Gemara gives us klalim. Sometimes the Gemara gives no klalim. It just gives examples. And you have to take all of those examples and figure out what the klal is, right? Meaning, you want to figure out what's the difference between grama and garmi, right? So what do all the Rishonim have to do? They collect all of the examples throughout all of Shas, of grama and garmi, and they try to figure out, okay, so which is which, right? Well, which brachas do you say al, and which brachas do you say le? So the Rishonim, you know, all the Rishonim at the beginning of Pesachim, they gather together all the brachas of Al, all the brachas of Lir, and say, okay, let's come up with a rule that fits over here. So we're sort of going to have to do that a little bit, meaning we're going to have to take all the examples in Shas and then figure out, like, what the rules are, what actually defines something as a Beria. So the Gemara in Chulin Kuf Beis on Beis tells us, Achal Tzipor Tahora B'chayeha B'kolshu. You eat a Tzipor Tahora, kosher bird, a live kosher bird, kolshu. B'misasa b'kezayis. But if you eat a dead kosher bird, which is the Isser called nevela, only if you eat a kezayis are you chayav. Utameya, but if it's a non-kosher bird, bein b'chayav, bein b'misasa b'kolshu, then even if it's pachas b'kezayis, whether it's alive or dead, it doesn't make a difference, the shear is going to be a kolshu. So apparently, nevela is not a beria, behemah tameya is a beria, and evar min hachai is a beria. What is the difference between the Isser of Ov Tame, which is subject to Beria, and the Isser Nevela, which is not subject to Beria? Right? Meaning, we're talking about the same physical item over here. It's a whole bird. But depending on what its history is, or whether it's kosher or not kosher, so now it's going to determine whether it's a berry or not. Furthermore, the Gemara in Zvach Mayin Beis talks about why Shara Niskal and Chatos HaMesos that get mixed with other Zvachim are not going to be Batel. And the Rishonim prove from the fact that the Gemara doesn't just answer that they can't be Batel because they're a Beria, that they must not be a Beria. Otherwise it would be a simple answer. Okay, so now you have full animals, several sugyas with full animals that are not a Beria. The Gemara Makos tells us that a bug is a Beria, but a chita of tevel is not a berry, according to the Chachamim, at least, Machlokas and Nakas. According to the Chachamim, which is Yachad Ram Alach Karam, it's not a berry. A chita is not a berry. So you put together all the sugyas, and the list of things that are a berry include a giranasha, right, that's our sugya, Eivim and Achai, an of tameh, and a bug. The list of items that are not a berry, nevela, chita shel tevel, Shara Niskal and Chatos HaMesos. Okay, so now what are the rules? Right, given that, what are the rules? So comes along Rashi, and Rashi tells us that it has to be Nesa Mitchilas Briyasa. In order to become Beria, it had to have been created Be'isr. It came into this world Be'isr. An Ov Tameh was always an Ov Tameh. It was always a non-kosher bird. Whereas a Nevela was a kosher bird until it was killed or dropped dead. So based on that, you can easily understand that the Giranasha is also a Beria, because it was always a Giranasha. A bug was always a bug. The Ran, in Chulun Lam Vavam Ralf Bedape Arif, Vahave Yodea, and the Rush, also here in Chulun, point out that according to Rashi, and also according to the Shita that we'll soon bring, that it has to be Berias and Shama, Chalev should have been a Beria. Chalev was always Chalev. So if you eat all the fat of an animal, no matter how tiny, even if it's less than the kazayis, you should be chayiv. But whoever heard of such a thing, right? You're not. Chalev is bekazayis always. We never say chalev is a beria. Why not? Meaning if you're going to follow this hakdara, that a beria is something that was mitchilas briyasa, or even if you want to say a beria is that which has berias neshama, which we're going to soon see. Chalev fits both of those criteria. So the Ran explains, no, chalev can't be a beria because it's not a single connected unit. It's scattered all over the animal. So something can't be a beria unless it's a unit. But if you have a little bit of chalev there, a little bit of kosher fat in between, and then a little bit more chalev in it, so it's all over the animal, that can't be called a beria. Meaning it defies the very notion of beria. The very notion of beria is a unit, and it's not a unit. Beis Yosef quotes the answer of the Ritva and the Rashba in the name of the Ri, that a berry is only something that if you cut it down, ain shmo alav. An of tameh, if you cut it, is no longer an of tameh. It's now the wing of an of tameh. It's now the tail of an of tameh. It's not the leg of an of, but it's no longer an of tameh. You no longer call it an of, you call it a chatichas of. Right? You could buy the chicken, or you could buy chicken legs, or you could buy chicken thighs, or something like that. So it's no longer an of tameh once it's cut. Furthermore, there's no amount of fat that you can eat that would be a beria shleima. This is also quoted, I think, in the Beis Yosef, if I recall. Meaning, if you eat all of the fat in the animal, then you've eaten kosher fat also. And if you eat only all of the non-kosher fat, all of the chalev in the animal, not the shuman, then you haven't eaten all the fat in the animal. So you're never going to get, I mean, it's similar to the idea of it being scattered all over the place, but a little bit of a different emphasis. So you're never going to have a beria when it comes to chalev. Now, as mentioned, that explains why a nevela is not a berry, because the animal wasn't always a nevela. But Rabbi Kivega raises a very strong question. The iser nevela is not something that the animal is born with, nachon, right? That's, so it's not going to be mitchilas briyaso. However, was the animal kosher when it was born? It was einu zavuach. It was missing shchita. And that's been there mitchilas briyaso. So why not say that? It had an iser mitchilas priyasa, and therefore should be a beria. So it's not a kasha on the Gemara, because the Gemara only said that nevela is not a beria in the context of chiv malchus for eating nevela. Right? That's what we say, nevela is not a beria. Okay, that's fine. You're not going to be chiv malchus for eating nevela. Right? Why not? Because if the only iser mitchilas priyasa was that it was eno zavuach, that's not a los asay. So if it's not a los asay, you're not going to be chiv malchus. For meaning, if its beria status comes as a function of a bitul asay instead of or in this assay instead of a los assay, so of course he's not going to be chayv malchus. However, it's a kash on the Shulchan Aruch, because Shulchan Aruch says that a nevela becomes batel barov because it's not a beria. Meaning, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, nevela is a beria, and the Gemara is still right that you're not going to be chayv malchus for nevela when you eat the whole nevela, because its status as a beria is a function of an isra assay and not a los assay. But as a beria, it should not become batel. That's from Kivegas Kasha, Starka Kasha. Rabbi Kivegar entertains the possibility that in order to be a beria, the Isra has to be mitchilas briyaso b'toras lo sasei, it has to have been an Isra lav, that he would have been chayv malchus for, but ultimately he rejects that answer. So the Kasha is a pretty strong Kasha. Meaning essentially he says, if you're going to follow the rule of mitchilas briyaso, a nevel is also asur mitchilas briyaso, and therefore should be a beria. I understand you're not going to be chayv malchus for eating pachos mikazayis of a beria shleim of a nevela, because it's the isra mitchilas briyaso was only an isra essay, but it still should not become batel. And the Shulchan Aruch says that it's batel. Pischi Tshuva Tzivka Nalv raises another point. He discusses a tala'as that grows in fruits, where so long as lo pirsha, and you have to learn some pei dalet really, when you learn the sugya of beria, you're really learning about bugs. I'm going to talk a lot about bugs and what the heterim are that people rely on. You know, why is it that there are balabastas that will swear to you that their mothers were very, very frum and never checked a piece of lettuce in their lives or whatever. Like, where does that come from? It seems like pretty explicit in halacha that you're not allowed to eat a bug. So we'll talk about that. But you see, I always have to learn in concert with Zimpei Dalit, because that's where we talk about bugs in halacha. But Pischa Tshuva quotes a placey that, based on the concept that the Shulchan Aruch says in Pedal, that a bug that was not Poresh is not Aser, maybe it shouldn't be a beria. I mean, you'd have a bug that develops, that hatches in the fruit or in the vegetable. So at the time that it hatches, it's not Aser, because it was never Poresh from the fruit in the first place. If it hatches in the fruit after the fruit is detached from the ground, there are details, whatever, how the halacha plays out. You know, this was the whole, similar to the whole discussion about the Anasaki worms. Remember that? I don't remember how long ago that was. Maybe you guys were very young. The whole tumult about the worms and salmon. You guys remember that? No? It was before your time? Yeah, yeah. So Chazal say that since bugs are spontaneously generated in the flesh of the fish, so mela, it's not an issue. So everyone says, but... What are you talking about? It's not true. They're little tiny eggs that maybe hatch when it's in the flesh of the fish, but they exist. They don't spontaneously generate. There's no such thing as spontaneous generation. So you have different approaches in the poskim. Some of the poskim say, who are you going to trust, Chazal or the scientists? Scientists are a bunch of apikorsim, and if Chazal says spontaneously generate, they spontaneously generate. That is generally not the mahalik of our yeshiva. Another mahalik is, what did Chazal mean when they said spontaneous generation? They meant something that you couldn't see beforehand. It was microscopic beforehand. And so it appears to the naked eye as if it was spontaneous. So the halacha doesn't change. That is the Mahalik of our yeshiva. And then there is a third approach, which is equally radical to the first approach, but in the other direction, that says that only spontaneously generated bugs are a problem. Now we know that these are not spontaneously generated, so mela. I mean, only spontaneously generated bugs are not a problem. Now we know these are not spontaneously generated, so mela, they're all a problem. Right? Meaning that we know the mitzvahs, and therefore it's a... Okay, anyway... So Rabelsky, by the way, was the big makel on that. He's the one. If you eat salmon today, it's because of Rabelsky's Achron Bracha. Rabelsky was there, and I think he had it out with Rav Elyashiv on that. I think Rav Elyashiv was not having it, and Rabelsky didn't back down from anyone, even Rav Elyashiv. Like they say, like Rav Elyashiv, like at a certain point was like a little stunned, you know, because like at the age of, I don't know, 104, he was used to people just being kafuf. Rabelsky was stuck. Yeah.
What would be the gdara of something inside of an animal that's considered a beria, right? So, for example, you would say that a gid anasha is a beria.
But why is it a beria? It's only a piece of an animal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So
good.
At what point do you stop and say it's part of the bigger picture.
Right, right. Very good. Yeah, so we'll get there. We'll get there. Yeah. So the so Pischichuva, anyway, a talas that grows in fruits, where so long as lo pirsha, it's not aser. So maybe it shouldn't be a barrier because it wasn't mitchilas priyasa. Mitchilas priyasa, it was kosher. It was only when it was parish that it became not kosher. So Darki Chuvan, Sivkat and Dalid, it says the name of Prima Gadim and the Chavis Das, that even though it wasn't aser while it was still in the fruit, it becomes a barrier because tchilas priyasa is not defined by how it was in the fruit. It's tchilas priyasa is when it left the fruit. It wasn't a bug yet till it left the fruit. Okay, till it migrated. Anyway, that's all Mahalik number one, tchilas priyasa. Mahalik number two tells us in a few places, Mechul and Sadivav, tells in Zvach Mayin Beis, and other places as well. It tells an entirely different interpretation of the geder of Beria, nothing to do with Tchilas Priyasa. The geder is that when the Torah says an Isser, what did it call the Isser? If it calls the Isser by a name, then that entire object is a Beria. So the Torah identifies the non-kosher birds by name, so that entire bird is a Beria. And this answers your Gid Hanasha question, right? The Torah asks Gid Hanasha. A Gid Hanasha is a beria. When it comes to the Nevela, the word is very unspecific, right? Non-specific. Both a tiny slice and a large animal of Nevela are all called Nevela. Nevela doesn't mean the whole animal. Nevela means Nevela. Any piece of Nevela is Nevela. It would have to be something that if Yechalek Ein Shmo Alav, says Tosos, that when you would cut it in half, you would no longer call it it. Right? You cut the bird, and now it's not no longer called a bird, it's called chicken legs, it's called whatever. So in a Giranasha, you cut the Giranasha, it's no longer called a Giranasha, it's now a piece of a Giranasha. Rav Salvechik in Shuri Rav in Simon Pehei has a way of formulating this idea. It's a Chatzi Gid is not called a Gid anywhere because it's an Isra Tzura, not an Isra Chum. You know, what's the best way to translate those terms? An Isser of, right, Tzura literally means like form. Is it style or substance, right? Chomer is like the substance of it, whereas certain Isurim are the Tzura. Anything that's an Isser Tzura is a beria, whereas anything that's an Isser Chomer is not a beria. Salvechik thought that even the concept of Bracha Achrona on a beria, that we'll talk about later, not today, would only apply to Shivas Aminim, because Shivas Aminim are din b'tzura, not in chomer, whereas other peros are not a beria because the fruit is never singled out as a tzura. I mean, the Torah never identifies the other fruits. It's just a fruit. But the Shivas Aminim, those are a beria. It's against that ha'arah, Rabbi Ganach points out, is against the Magen Avraham in Siman Reish Yud. The Magen Avraham implies that a single bean is also called a beria, as far as Bracha Achrona, and that's not one of the Shivas Aminim. But okay. The Ramban over here in Saditasam Bezal Chulun questions this whole approach, this whole idea that it's all about that it's all about what the Torah calls it, right? So the Ramban writes, "Adayin lo nisbar li ta'ama sheyadua b'tiktuk alashonos ki kol ha'ivarim domei achalakim hachelek v'hakol shavim b'shmoseyan." A portion of it and the entirety of it could be called the same thing. Kol basara behema va'adam nikra basar v'chaticha mimena nikra basar v'chein agid. He says, I don't buy it. You tell me that a piece of a gid is called a chatichas gid, not a gid? I don't know, I don't think so. A piece of a gid is called a gid, just like a piece of meat is called meat. Rabban says this is a matter of language. Avol be'evar maklaliyim k'tzasin ein shuman aleihem Hayad b'shlei Musa tikriyad b'chelik mimenenu inenu yad. Right. So, what are you going to tell? Like a hand is going to be different than a different artery because you know, or than basar. A yad is a yad, and so that's going to be a beria, but basar is not, and a gid is not. Well, we know a gid is, and no other part of the animal is. You don't take a hand of an animal and say it's a yad. You don't say a chicken leg. Oh, it's a beria. It's a whole leg. But that's the way people call it. So then there's a third potential qualification. And we'll see, these are machlokas. You know, so we're going to have to see what the Shulchan Aruch is paskening over here. Third potential qualification is that, and I probably should have mentioned this first, or at least second, is that it has to have a berias neshama. Pashtus means that it's a living creature. The Ran quotes this, Lamvav Menalv Midape Arif. He says, what about Gidanasha? Where's the berias neshama? He says, yeah, it's a berias neshama because it comes from a live creature. Every Menachayin, the Veil Sovtar, berias neshama. They come from something that was once alive. Where does that come from? That, the source of that is the Gemara Makos, which contrasts a bug with a grain, and says that you're not chayv malchus for a grain, even though you're chayv malchus for eating the bug, because berias neshama is a beria, but grain is not a beria. Tosfos, however, would say no, that line about berias neshama is not lahalacha. You're right, it's Gemara Makos that highlights this idea of berias neshama, but that's not the maskana lahalacha. And therefore, we don't hold that it has to come from a living thing. The background is as follows. Maybe it's kedai to just mention what the Gemara actually says over there. The Gemara is machlokas between the Rabban and Rabbi Shimon what the shear to be chayiv for achilas tevel is. Right? If you eat tevel. So Rabbi Shimon says kol shehu, and the Rabbanan say kezayis. And Rabbi Shimon challenges the Rabbanan. How could you say you need a kezayis? Why should it be any different than ochel nemala kol shehu chayiv? If you eat a tiny bug, you're chayiv, even if it's less than a kezayis. So why should tevel be any different? It's a beria. So isn't the chita also a beria? So the Rabban responds, no! Berias neshama is a beria. Chita is not a beria. Chita of tevel? That's not a beria. So fractosos, what about gidanashe, even minachai? They don't have berias neshama. And yet they're called a beria. So the Ran's answer is, yes, they do. It doesn't mean it has to be alive. It just means it has to have come from a living thing. But that was Tosis Kasha. And furthermore, Tosis says, even if Chita had Neshama, it wouldn't be a barrier, because the Torah never forbids Chita. It says, don't eat Tevel. The Isser is formulated as Tevel, not as Chita. It doesn't say lo tochal chita shel tevel. So Tosa says that really what's expressed in the Lashon HaPasuk is the Iker, and the Rabbanan were just responding to Rabbi Shimon l'shitaso. Meaning, when the Rabbanan said back, Beria Sashama Nikra Beria, and if it's not Neshama, it's not called Beria, they were saying, within your incorrect thinking, Rabbi Shimon, still chita would not be the same. But Tosa said, you want to really know why Chita Shel Tevel is not a beria? It's not because of Neshama. It's got nothing to do with Neshama. It's because the Torah never formulated the Yisr as an Yisr of Chita. The Torah formulated the Yisr as an Yisr of Tevel. According to you, Rabbi Shimon, that even that which is Mefurish Bakra can be a beria, that which is not Mefurish Bakra rather can be a beria, you still can't compare a bug logically to a kernel of wheat. Because a bug is a berias neshama, but it's all l'shitasa. So it turns out that if it's mentioned in the pasuk, it doesn't need to be berias neshama. So gira nasha evrim menachai are included in beria, even though they don't have neshama. Meaning, Tosfos is working with a very different definition of the term berias neshama than the Ran is. Right? The Ran is going to say that something's called a beria only if it has berias neshama, that we actually pask in that way, and that's the maskana la'alach in the Gemara. What about gidan nasha? What about menachai? That's also berias neshama. Tosfos is going to say, no, berias neshama, when the Gemara said berias neshama, it meant a living creature. It didn't mean something that once was part of a chiyus, was part of a living creature. It means a living creature. And therefore, I know that we don't paskin that berias neshama is correct because it's against the Gemara Chulin. Gidanasha is a beria, the Gemara says. Emrachai is a beria. So that Gemara Chulin is against that line in Makos that says that there's something about berias neshama. Says Tosis, what am I going to do about that line in Makos about berias neshama? But the whole problem that Tosis raises is only because of his definition of berias neshama. So what am I going to do about the Gemara Makos that highlights very strong? Shalom ka'alacha. It's responding within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. How do we pass on la'alacha? So you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Aleph, and he paskins, there are four qualifications to consider something a beria. Asr mitchilas b'riyasa, and that automatically precludes an oath tahar that became a nevela, and a shara niskol, because mitchilas b'riyasa they were not asr. It has to have chiyus as opposed to a chita. It has to have various neshama. Chita, that includes chita. And if you cut it up, ain't shmo alav, as opposed to chelev, where you cut it up and it's still called chelev. And then Shulchan Aruch says, adds in one more qualification, which is probably obvious, and that's why we didn't even list it before, is that it's whole and it's not crushed or cut. That's obviously based on the Gemara Makos Daf Tezayin, that if a bug is crushed, it's not a barrier. The Rashba and Taras Avayi says, and what if the part that's taken off of the bug is an Ever She'ena Neshama Tliyaba? It wouldn't kill the bug if you took off that part. It's still not a barrier. Any piece that's missing. So you cut off the edge of one of the animal's legs and it's not a barrier. The oaf, you're eating the actual oaf, the whole oaf. Yeah, not just the loaf. Now, it's not clear which shita in Rishonim and Shulchan Aruch is passed tonight, because Tosos doesn't, is not goreis the other two. Meaning, ain't shmo aleha, what it's called in the Torah, when you cut it, will it have the same name? He's not goreis the other two. So first he says like the Ramban, who disagrees with Tosos, and holds that you need Berius Neshama and you need also Metchilas Priyaso, right? Those two go together. But then Tosos rejects those conditions. And third condition of Imichalik is like Tosos, but according to Tosos, it's the only condition. So there are two Mahalchim in the Achronim in terms of how to understand the Shulchan Aruch. The Gra in Simon Kuf Os Vav and the Prima Gadim in Sif Seidah Sif Kut and Gimel say that Shulchan Aruch passes like all of the Shitos Lahakel. So he includes all of the conditions of the Ramban and his school of Rishonim, and also the condition of Tosfos. The Prima Gadim raises the problem that once you have Tosfos' condition, the others are really unnecessary, because everything that's not a barrier is already excluded from being a barrier with just Tosfos alone. Meaning Tosfos accounted for everything already. That's how he answered all the kashas, by coming up with this yesod of anything. You cut it down and shmo alav, and that covers Ginanasha, and that covers, so it already covers everything. So it seems unnecessary. Rabbi Kivegulo disagrees with this whole Mahalik. He says, no. When the Shulchan Aruch says, Ein Shmo Alav, She'im Yichalik, that it's Ein Shmo Alav, he's actually not referring to Shitas HaTosos, he's referring to Shitas HaRashba. What's that about? What he's really excluding is only Chelev. He's not excluding Gid, only Chelev. By saying when imichalik ain't shmo alav, because chelav, even when you cut it, it's shmo alav. The Rashba uses very similar lashon to Tosfos, but it means something entirely different. The way the Rashba understands is that you also need Berias Neshama and Chilas Priyasa, because imichalik refers to the name that people call it, not to the name that the Torah calls it. So imichalik only serves to exclude chelav, since people call parts of chelav by the name chelav. And that's why the Rashba says Chita Shel Tevel would be a barrier if not for the fact that you need to be a barrier, Neshama to be a barrier. It's not what it's called in the Torah. It's not called a Chita in the Torah. It's called Tevel in the Torah. I don't care. People call it a Chita. And when you cut it, people would no longer call it a Chita, so it should be a barrier. But it doesn't have barrier. It's a shama, and therefore it's not a barrier. Tosos follows the title as it's given in the Torah. So chita shel tevel is automatically not a barrier, because it's still called tevel when it's cut. It may not be called chita anymore, but now it's called tevel. And the Torah never calls the yisur chita, it calls it tevel. So where the Rashba and Tosos both seem to say, says Rabbi Kivager, that the gedder of a barrier is that if you cut it, its name is no longer there. What do you mean, its name? What's shmo? Tosos understands it means the shame shenasnaba Torah. The shame that the Torah gave it. Whereas Rashi says, no, we're talking about how humans speak. That if people wouldn't call it that anymore. And therefore, the Rashba's hagdar of ein shmo im yichalik, ein shmo alav, is really only mema'id chelev, it's not mema'id anything else. And still relies on the shitos of the Ramban and that whole school of Rishonim, the Ran and the Ramban and everybody else, that you need Berias Neshama, you need Mitchilas Priyaso, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch is paskening like. That's how Rabbi Akiva Eiger understands. So whereas the Gra understands that the Shulchan Aruch is paskening like everybody, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, no, he's paskening against Tosfos. And that's why you need all of these Hagdaros of Beria. Okay, maybe that's a good place to stop. So maybe next time we'll talk about whether there's any ratio that a taco will become batulin, and then we'll talk about bugs. What's called huchsak betulaim, all the limudei zchus for bugs, and then hopefully, if there's time, we'll talk about hilchos brachos and beria, right? The idea that you might have to say a bracha achrona on the beria shleima. Okay, have a great Shabbos, everybody. Try to remain cheerful despite the weather.